This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Still to come, answers to your questions in contending for the faith and in understanding the Scriptures, Dave and Tom will continue their discussion of God's salvation. In addition to this radio program, we publish a monthly newsletter, which we make available free of charge. We also produce and distribute a wide variety of teaching materials, including books in print, e-book, and audiobook formats, CDs, DVDs, and other items to encourage the serious study of God's Word. For a complete list of materials, or to get a copy of today's broadcast, write to us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call our toll-free order number, 877-882-4253. That's 877-88-BIBLE. Or visit our website at www.theBereanCall.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast on compact disc, ask for program number 0808. And be sure to mention the call letters of this station. And if you would like to watch Dave and Tom, our weekly broadcast is available on DVD. Ask about a subscription when you contact us. You can also download both audio and video podcast at our website. We'll repeat this information at the end of the program. Now, Religion in the News, a report and comment on religious trends and events being covered by the media. This week's item is from the Washington Post, December 2, 2007, with the headline, Younger Muslims Tune In to Upbeat Religious Message. The following are excerpts. Muna El Labudi, a 22-year-old medical student, had a terrible secret. She wanted to be a filmmaker. The way she understood her Muslim faith, it was haram, forbidden to dabble in movies, music, or any art that might pique sexual desires. Then, one day in September, she flipped on her satellite TV and saw Moez Masood, a Muslim televangelist not much older than herself, in a stylish goatee and Western clothes. Masood, 29, was preaching about Islam in youthful Arabic slang. He said imams who outlawed art and music were misinterpreting their faith. He talked about love and relationships, the need to be compassionate toward homosexuals, and tolerant of non-Muslims. Labudi had never heard a Muslim preacher speak that way. Moez helps us understand everything about our religion, not from 1,400 years ago, but the way we live now, said Labudi, wearing a scarlet hijab over her hair. Masood is one of a growing number of young Muslim preachers who are using satellite television to promote an upbeat and tolerant brand of Islam. Television preaching in the Middle East was once largely limited to elderly scholars in white robes reading holy texts from behind a desk, emphasizing the afterlife over this life, and sometimes inciting violence against non-believers. But as TV has evolved from one or two heavily controlled state channels to hundreds of diverse private satellite offerings, Masood and perhaps a dozen other young men, plus a few women, have emerged as increasingly popular alternatives. Masood and others promote a sweet orthodoxy, which stresses the humane and compassionate as an alternative to unthinking rage, said Abdallah Schleifer, a specialist in Islam and electronic media at the American University in Cairo.
Dave, this is sort of a dilemma here, and I'll get to that in a second, but first of all, you kind of want to cheer this guy on for the ideas that he's promoting. You know, he's against violence against non-believers. He certainly brings some things to Islam, which we're not hearing about. He's running against people like Osama bin Laden and some of the older folk, if I can use that. But the dilemma is he's not really what Islam's about. He's sort of the Joel Osteen of Islam here. Now, we wouldn't cheer Joel Osteen on, and we haven't, because he's abusing whenever he gets into the scriptures, he's certainly promoting a view of the gospel and a view of Christianity that has more to do with positive mental attitude and positive thinking and so on. So we wouldn't cheer him on, but should we cheer this guy on?
Tom, I don't know how large an influence this man has.
Well, let me just interject that. He's done a 20-part series, and clips of the show appeared immediately on YouTube, and fans downloaded more than 1.5 million episodes onto their computers. When he turns out to speak, 1,500 people show up, and the young people, you know, he's like a rock star in a sense. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to keep it as close to the Quran as he can, even though he has his interpretation, which disagrees with certainly those who are taking a fundamental view of it.
Tom, I don't recall this article telling us where is he preaching? Where is
Cairo, for example.
Really?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you a little background.
Have you seen on TV?
Oh, yes. He was raised in Kuwait, in which he attended American school there.
Right.
And then he went to an American school, an elite American school in Egypt, in Cairo. So, I mean, he's definitely a Muslim, but he understands the West and kind of grew up in his schooling and so on. So now he is very popular. But he's not the only one. There are a number of these who are, as I said, and I'm not trying to mock them, but it's kind of the Joel Osteen approach to Islam.
It's similar to what we were talking about as far as Christianity is concerned. The church today has gone off into la-la land, and that's where this man is. He's in Muslim la-la land. He's not, as you already said, Tom, this is not what the Quran teaches.
No.
So now we're going to have a problem, because I don't see how he could have a very large influence, a select group of people, young people, and so forth. But
because that's what the young people want.
Right.
Just like the emerging church.
Right.
That's what a lot of them really want.
But you see, Tom, they're going to have to throw Islam out. They're going to have to throw the Quran out. Then they're not even Muslims anymore. They don't have any influence in the mosques and on the imams. So this is a kind of a anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Except the old guys are going to die off, Dave.
Well, I don't know how many more of these young guys there are who are going to dare to do this. Now, he has to walk a very fine line.
He does.
You know that in Egypt, it's supposed to be a democracy, but it isn't, of course. Egypt is supposed to be, well, they're terrified of the real Islam taking over, although they have the premier Muslim university in the world.
Most of the scholars are there.
But that's not going to change Islam. There's no way you can change Islam. We're going to have to stand up to Islam and expose it to the world for what it is, and not be encouraged by this little aberration here of a few young televangelists.
Let's see, I could give you one more view of this. Dave, yes, I agree with you, but as I said, it's we believe that Islam is a false faith, all right? So if somebody else comes along and can reshape this faith and preach against terrorism, can preach against, you know, wars and certain things like that, so it's hard not to encourage it.
But it's hypocrisy, and it's not going to change anything. The one thing that you can see is going to come out of this, possibly, an ecumenism. You got a group of Muslim scholars who just signed a document. We got to get together because we believe in the same God and so forth and so on. It's lies. But you've got evangelical leaders who are going right along with this, and they're signing the same document. So I think this is probably part of that picture.